morning. It's been a long time, huh? About 2 years since the last time I was in front of you to give you a sermon. Last week, our brother Anthony, he gave a sermon about the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Well, today I'm going to talk about the first Adam. So let's pray first. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us one more chance, one more opportunity to be here together so we can have a fellowship with you, Father, and with our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, and with each other here in person, and all the brethren on the other side of this Zoom technology. Open our minds, our understanding, so we can learn more of you, what you are doing here in our lives, so we can get closer to you and with each other in your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. One of the first things that I learned when I came to God's church in 1970, more than 50 years, huh? And time goes by. What did I do all this time? Anyway, one of the first things that I learned about in the church was that everything and anything is a matter of cause and effect. Whatever we see is an effect, and something caused that. We see the heavens and the earth, what God created, that is an effect. Something caused that. We have life and death. Something causes that. We have blessings, cursings, and something causes that. We have health and sickness. Something causes that. We get sick for some reason. Something causes that. We don't get sick. That's good. Something causes that also. So this pandemic we're going through for the last, almost 2 years, something caused that. So there is a cause for everything. The only thing or the only one that is not an effect is God. He is the cause of everything. So let's go to the beginning, the creation of Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." There's so many different beliefs of this verse. Some say, well, he only blew some air into his lungs and he started breathing and his heart started pumping. Other people believe that, no, he put a soul in his body. And so that's why we have a soul. So that soul never dies. So when we die, we don't really die. Well, that's what a lot of people believe. They believe that when you die, the soul goes out of the body. You cannot see it because it's invisible. But the soul can see you crying over your body. So anyway, the soul goes up to heaven or to hell, or maybe just stays there, you know, in the air, hunting people at night. I don't know. They have different beliefs. All I can say is that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul says that we are a trinity. We are three, body, soul, and spirit. Maybe one day I'll have a chance to talk to you about these three, and then maybe we can understand more about what God did here to Adam. Anyway, so God creates Adam, and also he creates a paradise, the Garden of Eden, and with all kinds of trees, fruit trees, good for food, and also in the center of that paradise, he puts two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know that the Bible is full of symbols, and we believe that these two trees symbolize something, either obedience or disobedience to God. They are two ways of life. If you obey, you eat of the tree of life and you live forever, eternally. Because right now we are just physical. We live permanently. If you disobey and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you decide for yourself to go your own way instead of God's way. And that will bring you death. Then in verses 15 to 17 of the same chapter, chapter 2, God takes the man, Adam, and puts him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now everything was done for him. See, all he had to do was to maintain that Garden of Eden. Either, I don't know, where a shovel, a hole, and remove the earth and the ground and water the trees or whatever. Anyway, God told Adam, you know, I don't want you to be lazing around. And, you know, you got to do something. I mean, everything is done for you. Now you maintain what I gave you. Then God commands Adam, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. And that includes the tree of life. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. On the margin of my Bible, it says, I guess what the original Hebrew means. When he says, you shall surely die, it means dying, you shall die. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you don't die right away, but as soon as you sin, through the years, doesn't matter how many years, you're going to start dying. That's what it means. You're going to start dying and dying. Your body deteriorates, decays. And whether you live 90 years or 100 or 200, whatever, back in those times, they used to live hundreds of years. So God was saying, it doesn't matter. You're going to be dying and dying and dying every day until you kick the bucket, you know, you die, you know. And that's what he was saying, see, you shall surely die, or dying, you shall die. They say that, what do they say, that when you are born, you know, you start dying? I heard that. Then in verses 18 to 20 of the same chapter, it says, God sees Adam kind of lonely. So God says, oh, I'm going to give him something to do. I guess he can entertain himself or whatever. So God creates all kinds of animals. He tells him, I want you to name all those animals. So all kinds of animals. I guess by pairs, you know, female, male and female, you know. So here is Adam calling them their names. I don't know. Horses. You are a cow. You are a dog. You are a cat. You are a lion. You are a monkey. You are a chicken. You are a snake. So how long did it take Adam to do all this? Days, weeks, months? See, the timing in Genesis, the first chapters, the timing is very, how to say, very condensed. See, in the first six chapters, we go through 1,500 years. So the timing is very condensed. I mean, so Adam did what it did, and he finished naming the animals. He gave them names. But then, I don't know, I guess one day he was sitting down, looking at the animals, you know, by pairs. They had their companions, their mates. And he probably thought, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong here. They have their companions all by myself. I'm the only human being here. So, of course, God knew that. So he said, I'm going to fix that. So God puts Adam to sleep. I guess he gets his knife and cuts his side and gets the rib out and closes it and staples it. And I don't know. I'm just kidding. No, you know, that's what doctors do now. How he did it, we don't know. So, and of that rib, God made another human being, a female. Beautiful is that. You know, whatever God makes is beautiful and perfect. And he brings her to Adam. And it says that they are naked and they were not ashamed. So I guess when God brings Adam, I mean, he was just waking up because he was asleep. So the first thing he says is Eve. And she was so beautiful. His eyes were wide. And then he sees down and up, down and up. I mean, she was so beautiful. And I guess he goes, whoa, man. So that's why he calls her woman. I'm just kidding. I read that in a book somewhere. So then they live in that paradise. God marries them, their man and wife. And I guess they have their honeymoon. So for how many days or weeks or months, what, they were there with the animals, playing around with them and having a ball, you know, I mean, they were the honeymoon. So then, one day, I guess Eve was not with Adam. They were, Adam was one somewhere and Eve was somewhere else. I don't know. And then we see in chapter 3, it says that the serpent was more cunning or very sneaky. You know how serpents are. Maybe that's why that's a symbol of Satan. The serpents are very sneaky, very quiet. I mean, they can go on the ground and you're there and you don't even know that, you know, they're going around. They're very silent, very quiet. And then when they're going to attack something or somebody, you know, they stop, they kind of coil themselves and they stand up, you know. Sometimes they even dance, you know, in pacatelazo. Before you know it, he bites. So now it says that the serpent was very cunning. Now that's the way Satan talks to you, in a very slow way, very cunning way, very sneaky way. Remember when God told them, of all the trees you shall eat. But when Satan comes, he says, did God say you shall not eat of all the trees? You see how twists what God says. That's how Satan works. Then the woman says, oh no. He says, no, we can eat of every tree in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. I could just see Satan, you know, going, and you believe him. You know, how he talks to you. No, you will not die, Satan says. That you will not die. God knows that when you eat of the tree, you will be like God. I remember when Satan was millions of years ago, he said, I'm going to be like God. You know, the same doctrine that Satan has all this time. So he says, you will be like God. Your eyes and your mind will be open and you will find out that you don't need God. You don't need him to make your own decisions. You are going to be smart and wise. You can make your own decisions. That's what Satan was saying. Now, how long did it take Satan to convince Eve to sin? Now, the Bible doesn't say, but I don't know, did it take minutes, hours, days? There was a conversation between Satan and Eve. All this was in her mind, thinking. It says, because when we sin, how do we sin? When we see something, we think of something that is not right, we don't sin. But when we keep on looking and thinking, we keep on looking and thinking until we finally fall to the temptation and we sin. That's how it works. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. In our members, there is some loss. And we have the Holy Spirit, but still there is a war, fight, struggle inside of us. Always trying to do the right thing, but somehow we don't do it. And what we're not supposed to do, that we do. There's a struggle. So that's how it is. We keep on thinking until we fall. Now, in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. That's how it works. Sin always looks good, doesn't it? It looks tempting. It looks delicious, you know. Otherwise, we will not sin, always. So that's why when we think or we see something that is not right, we should stop right there. I guess get on our knees and pray, because if we keep on thinking and thinking, we're going to fall to that temptation. So she sins, she takes the fruit, she eats, but I guess she was not satisfied to eat of the tree herself. She probably told Adam, come on, you know, you have to eat it too. Look at me. I ate. I didn't die. See, I'm still here. How long did it take her to convince Adam, to take the bite. Why? The Bible doesn't say. It says it right away, but I don't know. Maybe Adam thought about it, but finally, I guess he loved her so much, okay, honey. So he takes the bite. So whatever they did, they found out that they were naked. Now, what does that mean? Before, they were naked and not ashamed. But now, after they sin, they're naked. What did they do? Something related to sex or what? How come they were ashamed? They were naked. They were hiding from God. Now, before God, all of us, we are naked. God can see through us. He can see our minds. He can read our thoughts. So we are open to God. We are naked, how it says. Now, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked, open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So I guess that's how Adam and Eve must have felt, when they finally sinned. They wanted to hide. What happens when we sin? Like I said, we see something, we think, and we see, and we think, and finally we sin. What happens? Nobody saw me. None of you saw me. Not my family, not my friends. Nobody saw me. But then I realized that my Father in heaven, he saw me. In fact, he has been looking at me all this time. So when we realize that, I guess it takes 1 or maybe 2 seconds. We say, what did I do? We realize that we sinned. And so at that time, don't we feel ashamed of doing it? Don't we feel naked? Because we did. He saw all the time what I was doing. And so that's how Adam and Eve must have felt. They felt naked. They felt that they knew that they did wrong. And so they tried to hide. They tried to sow some fig leaves to cover themselves. Why fig leaves? I don't see any symbolism here. But I guess I have a fig tree in my house. And when it's time in summertime, those leaves are big. You can get small ones, medium, big leaves. So I guess it takes a big leaf to cover themselves. Maybe he took 2 of them. Maybe Adam took a little bit more leaves than him. Anyway, so they try to cover themselves. And then here comes God. Now here comes God and tells Adam, "How come you're hiding?" "Because I was naked, I was trying to hide from you." And God says, "Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat?" So he should have said, "Yes, I did. Take responsibility. I'm the man of the house. I did it all. I'm sorry," and this and that. But no, he didn't. He blamed somebody else. He says, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat." Instead of taking responsibility, he blames it on somebody else. And then God comes to Eve. "So what did you do?" Now, does she say, "I'm sorry," she just start crying, "I shouldn't have done this and that"? No, she blames it on somebody else. "The serpent, she gave me to eat. She deceived me," she says. So then God comes to the serpent, and he curses the serpent. "You're going to be eating dirt all the rest of your lives," and this and that. Of course, God was talking to Satan, the devil. Then in verse 15, God tells Satan that his plan still stands. And he tells Satan a prophecy of what God is doing. And God tells him, "One day, another Adam is coming in the future. I don't know, maybe 4,000 years from now." No, he doesn't. "And he, Satan, is going to try to deceive that second Adam. But he, Satan, is going to fail this time. Because the second Adam is not from the earth, but from heaven. And he's going to be faithful and not sin. Now he will die because of you, Satan, inciting the people and this. He's going to die. But in 3 days, he will be born again. And he will bruise your head. He will not destroy you, not just yet. Because when he comes back to heaven, he will leave you there on the earth to try to deceive the woman, the one that is to become the wife of Jesus one day, his church. And his church, all of us, will be faithful because they have something that this Adam, the first Adam, didn't have, God's Holy Spirit. And both the second Adam and his wife will eat of the tree of life. So then God throws Adam and Eve out of the paradise, the Garden of Eden, and so they don't have access to the tree of life, meaning eternal life. So I guess, I don't know if he told them, but he says, maybe one day after 7,000 years, you'll be resurrected with the rest of the world, and you have your chance. Now, if you don't understand what this 7,000 years, maybe one day I can explain that to you. Or Mr. Darwin, he can explain it to you. It's very interesting. That's the plan of God. So then, you know, they'll be resurrected then, you know, and they're going to have their chance, the only chance for salvation. And they can eat of the tree of life also. So this is the story. God tells them to go out of the Garden of Eden. He tells Adam, now you're going to have to work the earth. Now you're going to be suffering. You might even have to go look for water, whatever, but you're going to suffer. He told the woman, well, the purpose for you was to have children and fill this earth with children. It was going to be so easy for you, but now it's going to hurt. So that's what he told them. So he put them out of the Garden of Eden. And so ever since, they died, you know, after, I don't know, I think he lived hundreds of years. But it doesn't matter. They lived, their body decayed, maybe not them, but the descendants, after hundreds of years, this body decays, it deteriorates, it comes down, you start getting sick, and so, like God said, you know, dying, you will die. And that's how it's been going on for the last 6,000 years. See, they are the cause that all this evils we have now. We have all kinds of sicknesses, we have problems, we have troubles, evils, fights, wars, sickness, pandemics like we do have. We have had them for all those thousands of years. This is not something new. You know, we always had them. So we have sickness, pandemics, we have plagues. We remember the bubonic plague. We remember the Spanish flu. We have the flu every year. The pharmacists start getting their big signs. Take the flu shot. Take the flu shot. Why? Because something causes us to be sick. Our immune system is low or very low for some reason. Maybe we're not eating right or something. I guess we can thank the doctors and the scientists because they have their shots, their vaccines. Otherwise, I guess by the millions, we would be dying right now. Not only thousands, but by the billions. But thanks to that. So anyway, everything causes the way we are. So we have all these sicknesses. Remember the swine flu? I remember the Ebola virus from Africa. I don't know if you remember those sicknesses. The Zika virus and this new China virus, that coronavirus. You know, we have all that. And I don't know how many more pandemics we're going to have in the future. Right now we are in March. Spring is coming. Summertime is coming. All these pandemics are going to go down. But then September, October is coming. The cold weather is coming. The viruses are coming back. So what are we going to do? Are we going to get ready for them to come? Are we going to start getting our immune system strong. So this way, when it comes, we are ready. Myself, I recommend that you take cod liver oil. That's good for your, for the flu, you know, and all kinds of vitamins and minerals. Get ready, because before you know it, a new virus is coming. So we should be always ready. So now that we know what happened, all this, what are we going to do? Are we going to do like Adam and Eve? Are we going to blame somebody else, you know, or what? Now, let me read in Romans, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because of Adam and Eve? I mean, somebody make me, you know, sick? No. It's because we all sinned. All of us sinned. It is our fault, our responsibility to try to be okay so we don't get sick. We have to think of what we eat, what we don't eat. Do we get enough vitamins? Cod liver oil, remember that. That's good for you. In chapter 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we should be getting ready now, because another pandemic is coming, like it or not, like every year. See, you're going to get the flu, but let the flu be just a flu, and then it goes. Don't die of a simple sickness, the flu. It's very simple. But people die every year. Thousands, I hear on the news, they die of a simple sickness, the flu. Why? Because we are all, our immune system is so low that, I mean, as a little virus comes into us, and here we go down. It's normal. I mean, 4 or 5 days, and then you go up again. But no, people die of a simple flu. So we should be always getting ready. So when the time comes, we are strong enough. And we can take the vaccine also. I mean, that would help. If that helps, good. See, I'm not against the vaccines. I mean, for some reasons, the doctors and scientists, you know, they know what they're doing. So whatever you do, be ready always, because another pandemic is coming in about 6 months. So you have 6 months to get ready to wait for that pandemic, because it's coming. Okay. Oh, I still have time. No. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for letting us be here together to learn of what you are doing here. Thank you for your spirit, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for choosing your church to be the first ones to come to your salvation. Give us of your faith so we can keep on being faithful to you and to our soon-to-be our husband, Jesus Christ. We need to keep your church safe, whatever it is. We need your son to come again to establish your kingdom on this earth. We need him bad. So we ask all this in the name of our son, your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.